Amen. Thank you, Jim and Judy. Open your Bibles here tonight, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. And how many chapters there in the book of Acts? 28. We're getting down toward the end here. We've been here a long time in the book of Acts. And tonight I'd like to look at the subject of healing in the Bible from this passage here. And we'll look at some thoughts here tonight from this passage. And I've gleaned my thoughts here tonight from the writings of Lawrence Richard from Encyclopedia of Biblical Words and some of his thoughts here about healing. Acts chapter 28, verse 1, and when they had escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita and or Malta, as it's also known as. And just a little background here, they just were shipwrecked, and they had all escaped, and just like the word of the Lord said to Paul, none shall be lost, and they all made it safely to land. Some on boards, some could swim, but they all made it safely. So they got on this island. And verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And anybody that didn't speak Greek was known as being barbarians, but it's just the natives of the people there. It's not that they were savages by any means, but just they were the native people. Showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And that storm, the Euroclydon, of the rain, it was still quite very bad weather. And, you know, you come out of the, you know, you ever got wet in the rain and just felt the coldness soak into you? And it can be very overpowering. So the people were very kind, built them a fire. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, what happened? The fire burned for a while. Fire got low, so Paul went out and got some more sticks. And he wasn't too proud to, pitch in and do what he can to help the situation. So Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. And there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the natives saw the venomous creature hanging on his hands, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance allowed him not to live. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for these thoughts we'll look at here tonight and guide our thoughts. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you be honored and glorified. May I honor the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ here tonight. So Lord, bring glory to yourself. Speak to each heart through your Holy Spirit. Illuminate your word. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to pick this part here a little bit and just talk about this. Some things that may not come to the surface right away, but, okay, Paul, he gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, did Paul have a thorn in the flesh? Okay. What was that thorn in the flesh? His eyes. Because there's a lot of reasons for that. One, Paul said in one of his letters, see what large letters I've written unto you. Well, if you have problems seeing, the bigger it is, the better it is. So, you know, that's a little hint there. He never said what it was, but there's things that give us little hints. He said to Galatians, you would have plucked out your own eyes for me. Well, it seems to infer that they were willing to, if they could give him their eyes, they would. So those little hints along the ways. So for here, now, when he gathered a bundle of sticks, now this viper snake must have been pretty large because, you know, it had enough within it to jump up and, you know, it was large enough. So with that being said, now it's possible that, you know, it's all in the bundle of sticks, you didn't see it, but what if your eyesight's poor? Could you have just gone over and grabbed something you can't see well? And so maybe the snake was very visible, but he just didn't see it because his eyes didn't see it. Okay, we're not sure, but somehow through this, he grabbed that bundle of sticks, and as soon as he threw the sticks on the fire, the viper reacted to the heat. All of a sudden, he was like, you're the one that threw me on the fire. Boom! You know, he went right after Paul. And the viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hands. Now, the native people, they saw this creature hanging on his hands. So they looked at this situation. Now, they just come off the ship. They knew these were Romans and guards and prisoners. And so they knew this was a group of guys that weren't the best neighbors you'd want to have around because a lot of them were criminals. And so they made a conclusion here. No doubt this man is what? A murderer. Though he has escaped the sea, yet, what's that next word? Okay, justice. Anybody else have another word for that?
Vengeance.
Yeah, justice or vengeance. Now, in Greek and Roman mythology, the Greek goddess of retribution was called Nemesis, and Otio was a Roman god of vengeance. So in other words, in their thinking, whether it was Greek or Roman, these people here, these natives, there was this goddess that if you do something wrong, the goddess of vengeance is going to get you. And as they saw this thing, they saw that snake hanging on his hand and said, yeah, you may escape the sea, but the goddess got you. You know, and that's how they saw this situation here, because yet vengeance allowed him not to live. So in their theology, how they're thinking, you know, your number's up. They got you. The goddess got you. All right. Well, that's what they're thinking. But he shook off the creature, the viper, into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked that he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly. Now, I was going to ask Judy this, but she's not here with us. She's in the nursery. But where Judy's mom lives, guess what they have up there? Copperheads and poisonous snakes. And Judy's mom was out by her backyard or something, and there was this big snake, but she didn't even see it. And has anybody ever had any encounters with, like, rattlesnakes or anything? Anybody ever had any encounters? It's not good, is it? You get bit by a snake. And so for here, I mean, all these people well aware, you know, he got bit. He should have swollen, fallen down suddenly. But after a while, they looked for a great while. They kept studying him. Didn't see any harm come to him. So they changed their mind. Then what did he say he was? He wasn't a murderer, but what? A god. But do you see how their theologies, this god of vengeance and this god of retribution, you know, whether it's Nemesis, the god of the Greeks, or Utio, the Roman goddess, well, those gods couldn't hurt him. Well, he must be a god then. If they couldn't hurt him, and he must be a god. You see how their thinking was working here. Now, I want to ask you something here. Okay, a snake hanging on his hands. He should have died. Did God deliver Paul? Okay, what did God tell Paul he was going to do? You shall go to Rome. So God wasn't done with Paul yet. Even though he got bit, God miraculously healed him. And I have a question. Did God heal his eyes? Wait a minute here. He healed his hand. Why didn't he heal his eyes then? That's what God said. Now, so this gets pretty deep here when you think about it, because can you have an illness for the glory of God? Can you have a handicap for the glory of God? And maybe God's not going to take that away from you. Now, there is some teaching in our land. If you have enough faith, God can heal you. And if you don't get healed, it's not because God, you had the problem. You didn't have enough faith. Is that good theology? Bad theology? Or no theology? What is it? Bad. Would Paul have faith?
Yeah.
Did God heal his eyes?
No.
He healed his hand, but didn't heal his eyes, did he? And see, God had a purpose for his eyes. And sometimes we look at our situations and we say, oh, I wish we didn't have this, whatever. But it may be that God, through that, can get glory for that. And it may be through that that God can teach us things we never learned. And it may be through that that some people may get saved, that God can use that in your life. So as we look at this whole topic of healing, let's just keep reading here, okay? So they changed their mind that he was a god. That's their theology, vengeance, retribution. They should have gotten this man who was a murderer. All of a sudden, he didn't die. Well, he must be like a god because the gods couldn't get him, and he must have undid what they tried to do to him. All right, verse 7. In the same district's quarters were possessions of the chief men, the magistrate of the island, whose name was Publius. He received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father Publius laid sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in, prayed, laid his hands on him, and what's those last two words? And healed him. Now, wait a minute. He healed him, but his eyes still weren't what? Healed. Well, okay. And then when this was done, verse 9, others which had diseases in the islands came and were what? They were healed. Now, whatever state you find yourself therein, therewith to be what? Content. What does contentment mean? Okay, satisfied. How about a sense of resting, trusting, waiting on God, not anxious, trusting that the Lord will work all things together for good? And I think here this whole topic of healing is not as simple as some people want to make it sound. Now, I want to take you to a passage that some people preach fervently, but I don't think they preach it in such a way that may do justice to Scripture. Turn to Isaiah 53 here. Isaiah 53. Very familiar Scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, carried our sicknesses, our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. Now, in the atonement, when Jesus died on the cross, does that guarantee in the atonement that we will have healing for us? Is it linked between him on the cross and healing? Now, before you answer that, what kind of healings are there? There can be spiritual healing, and there can be what? Physical healing. Now, I have heard preachers preach this passage here and say because of the atonement, we can boldly come to God and ask for healing. And if you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith. Well, if you read this passage further, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our what? Iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. So is that healing referring to physical healing or spiritual? Spiritual. Do you see that? But people have taken this and tried to like make it sound like in the cross, on the atonement on the cross, that you can have physical healing, and all you have to do is claim that. So I don't take that position. I see it more of a spiritual healing. But with that being said, God can heal both spiritually and physically. Now, if God healed everyone, will we ever die? Would we? If he healed everyone, we'd never die. Those that Jesus healed in the gospel, did they die eventually? They did. They died eventually. So, to say that somebody doesn't have enough faith and that was the reason God didn't heal them is not fair to that person. Because you can have a heart full of faith and trust in God, but guess what? And you have to look at it this way. For the believer that's saved in Christ, that knows God and is right with God, is death a punishment or a reward? Which is it? It's a reward. Because where do we go when we die? Heaven. What's heaven like? And Paul said, I'd rather depart this world. He said, for me to stick around is needful for you, but if I had my choice, I'd rather depart. So if God calls us home, is that a reward for the believer? That's a reward that knows God. So how do we see death? When God takes a loved one away from us, yeah, we grieve, we're sorrowful, but we need to see that ultimately they're blessed by God because they're in the presence of God now forever. And I guarantee you, if your loved one in eternity had the choice to stay there or come back, which would they choose? I think they'd stay there. Although we grieve, we miss that fellowship and communion and everything that goes with our earthly relationships. You know, the scripture says death, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his what? His saints, because we're home with him. Now, if all of life was put into an hour, some people go at 5 after, some 10 after, some 15 after, some at 30 minutes, some maybe 45, maybe some at 59. But all of us at some point are going to go. It's just a matter of when we're going to go. So God won't heal everybody because that the gateway to go to heaven is this sinful body has to go into the grave. And then we have the resurrected body. So for Paul here, what's interesting back over here in Acts, Acts 28, is that although he healed others, he himself wasn't healed of his affliction. But why? It wasn't that he didn't have faith, but that God had a plan for that. And oh, that's a good question.
And all these other people.
Yes, okay.
I mean, I guess if they came to him, they had hopes.
That is an excellent...
They have faith.
Right. I'd like you to turn this passage here to answer that question. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 here. Verse 21 and following here. Okay. This passage here, Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased, had an issue of blood 12 years, came to him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I might but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about and said, when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good cheer, thy what?
Faith.
Thy faith. So her faith brought her healing. Now, I want to get, this is like a little subnote here, but in Judaism, you could be clean and unclean. An unclean person was defiled ceremonially by touching the dead or whatever. Could anybody make Jesus unclean? If a Jewish person touched a dead body, they become unclean. But for Jesus, because she was unclean because of her issue that she had, the issue of blood, she could not make him unclean. What happened was he made her clean. Do you see how that went? And so her faith, though she had faith, she touched him with his garment, she was made whole. Okay. Now, if you keep reading, look at this next encounter. When Jesus came to the ruler's house, saw the minstrels and people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They knew she was deader than dead. When the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Did the maid have faith? Did she have faith? No. Did he heal her? Yeah, absolutely. Whatever made her die, he healed her, and now she's alive. So, do you always have to have faith to be healed? No. There's some times yes, sometimes no. How people get healed. But it's all for the glory of God. So where does this lead us to? I believe with all my heart God heals. But I believe he has a plan and purpose for every sickness. And he can work in and through it. And do we pray for healing? Absolutely. What does James 5 teach us? If you're sick, who do you call for? The elders of the church to come anoint you with oil and pray over you, the prayer of faith. I believe that with all my heart that works. But I do believe, just like Paul here, he could heal others, yet God let him keep this issue he had with his eyes for his glory and honor. Now, does anybody remember in 1 Corinthians 12 why Paul said he had this affliction? Why did he have it? So that he might be what? Not exalted above what? Measure, yes. God gave him this to keep him what? Humble, because he was caught up to the third heaven. And so sometimes for us, we have to take a mature look at Scripture. Does God heal? Absolutely. But does God have a purpose in sickness? Absolutely. And he can use that for his glory and honor and to help us be a better man or woman of God. And just like Paul. Does anybody remember what Paul told Timothy to do when he had stomach problems? Yeah, drink a little wine for your medicinal purposes. Well, couldn't they just pray the prayer of faith and Timothy be healed? That's not how they approached it. Epaphroditus, does anybody remember him? What happened to him? Anybody remember who he was? He took a gift from the church of Philippi to Paul, and then he got very sick, and Paul had to leave him, but then he heard he got healed, you know, that he recovered from his sickness, but Paul had to leave him sick. And Philippians 2:27, Paul said, indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. But Paul had to leave him, even though he was sick, but he did recover. So does God heal? Absolutely. But if he doesn't heal, I know he's got a greater purpose for it, for his glory. Now, in verse 10 here, Paul had this healing. Now, like in the New Testament, when it speaks of healing, I think there's 82 times that five words are used, various Greek words for healing. But they're all found, mostly all, but just a few of them are found in the Gospels and Acts. Beyond that, you don't really have much scripture on healing. You got a little bit in James, a little bit in 1 Corinthians 12. But really, the rest of the New Testament doesn't have a lot about healing. You have the gift of healing mentioned, but it's not really told how that. And anyway, that gift, the healing, is plural. Gifts, not singular, as the gift of healing. It's plural, gifts of healing, like this time or this time or this time. It's not the gift, but it's gifts of healing. It is plural. But look at verse 10, whom honored us with many honors. Well, Paul and others, how many men were with them on the shipwreck? Anybody remember? 200 and what? Yeah, 276. That's a pretty good crowd to feed. But God used Paul to heal the chief magistrate of the island. He made sure they were well taken care of, who also honored us with many honors. So when we departed, they laden us with such things when necessary. God provided for them. But I think it was a lot to do with Paul's healing and who Paul was, and that God used Paul to heal Publius's father and many others there on the island. Anybody have any thoughts about healing here? Any insights? Do we pray for people to heal? Absolutely. Does God heal? Absolutely. But he always has a plan and a purpose. All righty, well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight, and thank you for you're a God who does heal, and Lord, we can trust you. But Lord, if you choose not to, we know that you have a greater purpose that overrides our immediate needs for your eternal glory and honor. So, Lord, bless us as your people as we wait on you in our physical issues in life. And we know we can trust you, Lord, for you're a good God. You do all things well. And, Lord, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible for us as believers because you're a good God. And you're ever too wise to make a mistake and ever too kind ever to hurt us as your people. So we do trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.